This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 398. And I'm whispering because it's a secret announcement that I'm very excited about. So I'm not even going to do the... I'll speak at a normal level. I'm not even going to do the usual kind of... we're brought to you this week by blah, 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 because I need to get into the announcement. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff in the coming episode. So let's drop the music, buddy piece. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. Right, here we are. What I'm here to tell you about is August 3rd is coming up, which is my birthday. I always release something on August 3rd, and it's always a surprise. But this is a big one, so I wanted to give you podcast guys a heads up. And I'll explain, there's numerous ways I'm giving you a heads up here. August 3rd is also the 10-year anniversary of Introdiction, the first single off of my proper debut solo album, The Distraction Pieces, which is where this podcast got its name and everything. So when I realised that was the case, I was in Canada on my own filming a TV show, and I thought, what can I do to mark this occasion? And I thought I wanted to do a 10-year anniversary vinyl. But I thought, well, I don't want it to just be a cash grab, because the vinyl always sells out quick. I don't want it to just be, here's another version, but it says 10-year anniversary on. I mean, it does say 10-year anniversary on it. But I decided I wanted to do something a bit more. So what I did was I got my recording equipment and I took it up to the woods, Stanley Park in Canada. It's these amazing woods that overlook the sea as well. So you're in the middle of all these trees and then you get to the edge and it's a cliff, or there's a beach down there. So I took all my recording equipment up there and I took all the lyrics for Distraction Pieces and I performed them all as spoken word pieces in the woods. I wanted to find a really good quiet spot that had a bit of atmosphere, so I climbed over a fence into a bit I shouldn't be in and found like a tree to perch on. And yeah, I sat there for 30, 40 minutes or whatever it is and performed. And I've got the vinyl in front of me now. Vinyl these days, you have to put in so far ahead. So I said, I recorded this end of last year. I planned all of this and I've not told anyone about it. It's why I needed to do a whole episode to tell you all the exciting shit. I'm opening it. This is... Can you hear that? That's the vinyl plastic. It's the first copy. Bit of an ASMR episode. So yeah, this may bore you, but the important part I'll tell you now quickly, because I'm going to prattle on about this for ages because I put so much time and effort into how we do all of this. The important part is that you can pre-order this now, but only because you listened to this podcast. So the pre-order link is in the information of the podcast. If you go to my web store, you won't see the pre-order there. You won't see this vinyl there. You won't see anything about it. I'm not going to post about it on any socials. This link isn't going to be anywhere else because I just wanted you guys who listen week in, week out. I've got a core who listen to every episode and it blows my mind. Obviously, big guests have more listeners, so on and so forth. But there's a core who listen to every single one. And I wanted to give you kind of the exclusive heads up ahead of it becoming available in general on August 3rd to get the pre-orders in. So yeah, that link is in there. But yeah, I'm going to start. If you're not interested in this kind of thing, turn off now. It's all good. No offense, but I'm excited. A lot of you who've followed for a long time will know that I take a lot of pride in making things well and making them good. So it's a gatefold double vinyl. And we've gone for a matte finish. A lot of people know the original Distraction Pieces artwork. It's that, but it's a nice matte finish with a little 10-year anniversary logo printed on there. All touched up by Adam Richardson, who I do Pod Bible with and has done loads of good stuff with the Distraction Pieces network in general. But because it was a gatefold, I had to figure what I'm going to put in the gatefold. And I grew up on Vinyl Man. I'm excited about gatefold. I didn't want to just put blankness or, I don't know, track listing in there. So what we did, me and Adam, I got some Polaroids, liked the podcast, and wrote on them the track listing of disc one and disc two. And then in the middle, we've put the 10 years apart photo thing we did that's available in the web store. Me and Tom Coles at Get Shot Studios, who've been working together for years. We recreated a photo that was the first one he took of me for like my MySpace profile. And it's me with a Polaroid in my mouth. So we recreated it. So the inside is those two photos on Polaroids, all with handwritten bits, writings, handwritten saying recorded at Stanley Park and mixed and mastered by Buddy Peace, who does the podcast and has now mixed and mastered this live recording, which is more intricate than you'll realise when you listen. Because what happened was I went and recorded it, and it sounds amazing, but because I use these really good mics for the podcast, it cut out a lot of the background noise. So Buddy said, look, if you've got time, and I did have time, I was in isolation in an Airbnb on my own over Christmas. So I had time. He said, if you've got time, go up to the woods and do some field recording. So I went back up there with my recording equipment, set it all up, pressed record and walked away and left it recording for like an hour or whatever. Then found another location and did more. So I also did all this field recording on my own in Stanley Park, no one knowing what I'm doing, just looking like a maniac. There's bits where there was a nice little stream. There's bits where there's a boat in the sea that goes by, and that was on the original recording. So there's a real mix. So Buddy did some mad work there, and it just sounds so lush and beautiful. So yeah, there's even the ending of the vinyl features a Canadian man who I've not had authorization to put on the record. But I had one of my recording devices, you may have seen, or I mention it, but it's always in the photos of the Films of the Year podcast. I've got this recording device. It's got a big red fluffy wind breaker cover thing, a muffler thing. I don't know what it's called. So I had that sat there recording, and I walk away from it because I don't want it to pick up me sitting again in the cold, you know, October, November, December, whenever I recorded it, Canadian air. So this guy just comes up and goes to pick it up, and in the background you hear me go, "Yo, mate," and he just goes, "Oh, is this yours?" in his wonderful Canadian voice. And then he says sorry, because he didn't know what it was. So that is all on there, and that's a lot of fun. But what I found as I was recording it was, number one, that Distraction Pieces is quite a short album. And as a spoken word thing, it's even shorter, because one's like Domestic Silence, for example, it's quite short. The hook is a lot of it. And Let Him Come is a better example, because Let Him Come on the album has Sage Francis and POS. But what a lot of people don't know is when I used to tour it live, before I confirmed Sage and POS, I wrote two verses for it. So when I performed it live, I used to do the other verse as like a live exclusive. So I've done the other verse of that. Loose lips sink ships, purse lips burst hearses. That's how it starts, I think. So yeah, I've done that. So the spoken word version has this extra verse that a lot of people haven't heard before, or at least haven't heard in 10 years since I was touring it in, or 10 years ago, yeah. So that was cool. But what I realised was it quite short, so I put a couple of extra bits on the end, and I scrolled through my kind of files, my archives, and I found a piece I did. I did a track with a jazz guy called Christian Scott, who's so cool. It's one of the coolest collaborations I've ever done, but we only released it on red vinyl and it wasn't available anywhere else, and it's called Lovesick, and it's about a drug addiction. So I recorded that as a spoken word piece for the first time ever. I don't think I've ever performed that as a spoken word piece. And then another one called Tooth Fairy. So yeah, because I've got as well track 9 on Distraction Pieces, anyone who knows, is Feel It. And that's a cover of a Kate Bush song. And I thought, there's no point in me doing a spoken word cover of a Kate Bush song. I mean, essentially, the version on the album is a spoken word cover of a Kate Bush song, tweaked and changed slightly with the amazing vocals of Natasha Fox on there. So yeah, I did all that. So it goes Introduction, Let Them Come with the extra verse, Domestic Silence, Try Dying, Death of the Journalist, which is a really interesting one to do now because the lyrics seem so prevalent, even though it's 10 years old. Soldier Boy, Kill 'Em. Another one that's quite short as a spoken word piece, because let's face it, the best part of that track is the B. Dolan verse. The Struggle, which has obviously changed in tone a lot since Johnny Depp's court battles of being the proprietor and the victim of alleged abuse. Broken Promise is the one that probably works best as a spoken word piece. And then Lovesick and Tooth Fairy, as said. So, yeah, we've done all of that. And Adam Richardson, as said, has done this cool new artwork, or tweaked the artwork. So basically we've added the track listing on the back. Buddy Peace mixed and mastered it all. It's double vinyl, but it's white vinyl with black sleeves. Like, you know, traditionally you have white sleeves. We've got these sick black sleeves. And this just glowing white vinyl. One of the big regrets of the original vinyl run of Distraction Pieces was I thought the vinyl labels were shit. I think they look good. They didn't make a lot of sense. They made sense because they matched the artwork of the singles on the digital version or something or other, but I don't think they look good. I thought the general artwork was smashed, but they looked whack. So we did new labels that are the 10 years apart photo. So disc one has the first photo and disc two has the 10 years later photo. Again, all tweaked and reworked and redone by Adam Richardson. And yeah, that is my secret, super secret announcement. And Distraction Pieces changed everything, man. Like the album. I did that on my own label. It was at a time when me and Dan Lesac had done two records. Dan had done a solo record and I wanted to start working on a solo record before we did our third. And a few of the tracks, Introduction, a lot of the lyrics on there was stuff that I'd kind of thrown towards Dan for potentially working on some of our stuff, and none of it ever seemed to fit. Lovesick, the spoken word piece in here, originally pitched to Dan, but he had some personal attachments and connections to the subject matter that he didn't feel comfortable clicking it all together. But yeah, I worked on that record, and I remember on the August 3rd, 2011, Introduction coming out. And the way we did that, man, so we shot that on August 1st, as it's largely a one-shot, edited it on August 2nd, released it on August 3rd, my 30th birthday. Budget of 100 quid. Travis Barker on drums. At that point, it wasn't announced that he was the one on drums because we hadn't had clearance to announce it. It was announced by the time, or was cleared by the time the record came out, thankfully. The actual album, I mean. So yeah, we dropped that, and I remember I was up the Bell, a pub in Horndon on the Hill. I was up there for my 30th with friends and family, and I had to do a phone interview on my mobile phone with Zane Lowe on Radio 1 because he'd made Introduction his hottest track in the world, or whatever it is. It's hottest record in the world. And yeah, I took a pause from food and drink and friends to chat live on Radio 1 with Zane about this song that, as said, me and I'd worked with Danny Lona on. But this whole album, man, the record label was a fiction. It was me. I had a distribution company helping out hugely, but I didn't have staff. I didn't have a team. I bought in a PR team. I bought in a radio plug, all that kind of thing. But all of the journey there was just me making it up as I went along. I remember we had a game on my website, and the guy who designed the game, I paid him in Lego. He was a guy who lived in Holland, and he'd been to England and seen London Bridge or Tower Bridge and missed it. So I paid him with a Lego Tower Bridge set, which cost like 300 quid or something. And yeah, loads of stuff along that album and that period was just winging it as we went along. And then that became the single, like Zane Lowe's hottest track in the world. And then a week or so after the video went out, before we had clearance to put Travis Barker's name on the artwork, because he was secretly in the studio with Blink, so he was off all emails and all this kind of thing. It was just before they were looking at getting back together and doing some stuff. He reposted it on social media and shared it, saying, like, so proud to be on this track. And he ended up writing about it in his biography and giving me mad compliments. So, yeah, it went from, like, well, here's the solo record, don't know if anyone will care, to being, you know, outside of Thou Shalt Always Kill, the track I'm most known for. And in America, probably more than Thou Shalt. It really blew things up out there in a way that I hadn't had before. And part of that was that album was having Sage and POS and Dolan, Danny Lona, Travis Barker. Yeah, loads of really good people on and collaborating. Yeah, and it blew things up. And what I'm saying on, yeah, we filmed, because in the video I was shaving my head and cutting my beard off, I wanted to film it as close to release as possible so no one could accidentally see. I don't know how it would get out, but I didn't want to have to do a gig or some promo and people go, oh my God, your beard's gone. Or, you know, it's cut a lot shorter. So yeah, we filmed it on the first, edited it on the second, released it on the third, and it blew up. It blew up to have millions and millions of views. And that kickstarted this whole album. Let 'Em Come came next. The music video, another Nightmare Man. The week before, the original music video was going to be a riot squad, but of rioters, if you know what I mean. So a riot squad being sent in a van to deal with the riot squad, so to deal with the police. But the week before we were filming it was all planned out, all scheduled. I think Billy Bragg was going to have a cameo in it. We had loads of cool people lined up. I've still got like 3 riot shields, a riot helmet, because I started getting all this stuff together. And we were going to have smoke bombs, all sorts of madness. But a week or two before we were going to film, the London riots happened. And we suddenly felt, if we didn't have a clear message, which we didn't, that's commenting on what went on, then it'd be incredibly distasteful to do this music video with riots in it just after the London riots. And I was in there for some of it. I was in Croydon for a chunk of hours that evening. So yeah, we changed it completely, and we had to tell Michaela and Nina Kate and Carmen, who were going to be in it as part of the riot crew squad thing, had to ask them to learn a verse each to lip sync, and they were going to play us. And it was all scrambled at the last minute, and it turned out so much better than the riot video version would have been anyway. So yeah, that was a madness, and it all blew up from there. And then we did the struggle video, a similar thing where I'd got permission to film in One Tree Hill up the road from me, but we didn't tell them that we were going to have flaming torches as we marched about. It's the same with Interdiction, man. Interdiction, because we knew we had to do it in one take, and that take ended with setting everything on fire inside like a metal container thing that you put a cargo container thing. We'd rented this cargo container for a day, and I thought, if we ask them if we can set things on fire, then they'll say no. But as we have to do it in one take and the setting fire is at the end, let's just do it and then get told off. Because our thought was, we're not going to damage the metal cargo container, and we didn't. So yeah, we winged it completely and then apologised profusely. But it was the same with One Tree Hill. We'd got permission to be there and the groundskeeper guy was going home, but we didn't tell him that we were going to be belting about with flaming torches. And we had Natasha Fox was one of the people there who's on Distraction Pieces, as said, singing on Feel It. Hannah, a load of her mates, like Natasha lined up a load of her friends and loved ones. And we got, and Yilla did the same, and Warren. And yeah, we shot this mad video with Johnny Depp masks running around in the woods with flaming torches and kind of Day of the Dead type face paint. Obviously no idea that Johnny Depp was going to then have some complicated stuff in the future and turn out to potentially be a dickhead, but potentially not, potentially be the victim of a dick. It's complicated, isn't it? I don't know, and I don't want to chime in. I ain't going to defend anyone, and I ain't going to pile in on anyone in this moment. So yeah, we did that, and that was that. And then the the fourth and final video and single was Soldier Boy Kill 'Em, and we filmed that when we had the day off from tour because B Dolan was over to support us on tour, and we had a day off that happened to be Remembrance Sunday. People didn't know. So filming a song that's very much against the military system and the military conveyor belt, we rented a Jeep and a field and tore about dressed as soldiers, rapping as we drove, completely blagged it again, completely didn't know if we'd got anything out of it, and then edited it all together and it looked fucking cracking. So yeah, that was that album just changed everything. It also changed the way me and Dan worked together. I strongly feel Repent, Replenish, Repeat wouldn't have been as strong if we hadn't both gone off and experienced other people and gone off and spent time with other people and saw how other people worked and had some time away from each other and then came back. So yeah, this has been the kind of rambly announcement episode. As said, the pre-order, the album will be out on August 3rd and I'll post about it on socials then. But the pre-order is exclusive for you guys. Please don't make it all sell out ahead of the 3rd. It'll be really awkward. Although I think if it does, I won't tell anyone. And then I'll just pretend it's sold out like in a matter of minutes. And you guys keep it a secret, all right? Shh. Shh. It's not currently... I don't know how many I'm going to do. I've had a certain run made up. If it seems that there's more demand, because I want people to have this. Everyone moans about all my vinyl being out of stock. But I'm not going to do tens of thousands. You know, it's not going to be some crazy thing. But equally, you've got to be careful in these times. I'm an independent label and no one makes money out of music anymore. But I'm hoping that when you make this slick matte finish double vinyl fucking spoken word album on there, all this madness featuring Sage Francis, POS, B Dolan and Natasha Fox, I think it's going to be a special one. So I hope you all enjoy it. As I said, the pre-order will be in the link in the information of this episode, and that should show up whether you're listening on Acast, on Apple, on Spotify, wherever. You should be able to grab that link. But equally, if you can't see it in your one, if you go to distractionpiecespodcast.com, I think it is, then where we have it up there, it should be in that information. But yeah, you can't just head to the web store. You can't just get a link off my Twitter or whatever. This is a secret exclusively for the ones who bother listening to every episode. But equally, it's very much a shorter episode for the sanity of those who listen to every episode. So yeah, thank you for tuning in. Obviously, I'll be back next week with a regular episode. It's a really good one. That'll be out on Wednesday, as ever. But until then, this has been the Distraction Pieces Podcast, episode 398, the secret announcement episode. And you might be realising that episode 400 is coming up. Will I have anything exciting planned for that? Will I not? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. So until then, stay sane and stay safe. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.